The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I baptize with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must become your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you have any memories of sibling squabbles in the back seat of a vehicle with mom and dad up front? Maybe it was your own siblings as children, or maybe your own kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews. "He's touching me. She's looking at me." That kind of stuff. This is kind of what I imagine when I read today's gospel. Okay? Imagine 12 disciples in the back of a 15-passenger van and Jesus is driving. You got that one? James and John coming up to Jesus and saying, "We want to be first. We want to be at the right hand and the left hand." And the other disciples get mad at them because they thought of it first. But this passage from Mark today, the beginning of the actual passage, begins with Jesus telling the disciples for the third time that he will be arrested and killed. Still, the disciples don't get it. The disciples have seen Jesus in action, healing and teaching and feeding, miracles. They have left their family and home to follow him, literally to walk with him. Why might they not understand or acknowledge what Jesus is saying about his arrest and death? The Jewish people at that time were looking for a savior, a Messiah, someone from the line of David, someone promised in the book of Isaiah, who would bring them liberation. And Jesus is making all the right moves, saying all the right things. Surely he must be amassing an army to overthrow the Roman occupiers. Once again, Israel might be great and free and ruled by the people who fear and worship God. But we know, and the disciples were not ready to admit, that the freedom that Jesus was offering was not freedom from Roman occupiers. Jesus was not preparing an army of warriors to take on the might of Rome. Jesus was preparing the way for a new kingdom, one that was so different to the current systems of the world that it was hard to see what it might be like. James and John, brothers, asked Jesus if they could sit at his left and right in the new kingdom. And traditionally, those who sit next to the king or the leader were the powerful people. It was a place of great honor. When you're at an event, maybe a wedding, who sits at the head table? The bride, the groom, the honored ones, and then the best, the people they treasure the most, and then their parents. Who sits in the back corner? So soon the places at the left and right of Jesus will actually be those who were crucified with him. Then Jesus tells the disciples again that those who are great are those who serve. This new way of living, the way of Jesus, does not follow the ways of Rome or any other empire. Honor and status is not about wealth or prestige or number of slaves you own. Being great is not about the size of your army, but the way you serve, the way you live for others. Again, I'm preaching to the choir because you understand service. Then this final sentence of our reading, the Son of Man did not come to be a slave master, but a slave who will give his life to rescue many people. There's a writer who's a specialist in the Gospel of Mark, Chip Myers. He writes, the term ransom refers to the price required to redeem captives or purchase freedom for indentured servants. Jesus promised then that the way of servanthood had been transformed by the human one, the Son of God, the Son of Man, transformed into a way of liberation. Not from Rome, but from powers bigger than Rome. How long has it been since our lives changed so dramatically due to COVID? Is it 18, 19, 20 months, something like that? This is the first time I'm wearing my robe in worship since March of 2020. Since then, sometimes we've been able to meet, sometimes we've not, sometimes masked, sometimes singing, and at times we've not been able to visit family and friends. We've missed birthdays and funerals. And we're still returning, yearning to return to something that we used to call normal. But what is normal? Like James and John, we do what humans do best. We fall back on what we know, what's comfortable, how the world always worked. We hope and pray that the world has not and will not change as much as it already has and as much as we know that it will. What once was is not working anymore. We know that. deep in our hearts and souls. God is perhaps calling us to a new thing. The world around us is changing. And if we lean on our own intuitions, it feels chaotic, out of control, confusing, frustrating. For James and John, they've heard Jesus talk 3 times now about his impending death. And I imagine they may have been confused as well. Their idea of Messiah does not include death. That just doesn't make sense. Jesus is simply affirming here what the world does to those who put their trust in love and follow it through in every aspect of their lives. The disciples are fixated on the reward for their actions. But that is not what is significant. It's the ability to trust, to love, to live it out in the world. That's the right response to the call of Jesus. And Mark points out so clearly over and over and over again. Take the time to read the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest gospel. It's 16 chapters. Read how often the disciples miss the mark. The kind of power they seek is the very power that will have Jesus crucified. I'm going to say that one more time. The power that the disciples were seeking, and sometimes we get caught up in that train too. The power they were seeking is the very power that would have Jesus crucified. Once Jesus enters Jerusalem, the world will change. But we live on the other side of the cross and the empty tomb, and still, when we don't have answers or there doesn't seem to be any answer in the immediate future, our human pattern is to power and partner with power, rather than to hold hands with humility. I didn't come up with that line. I don't know who said it first, but our human pattern is to partner with power rather than to hold hands with humanity. That's not the way of Jesus. I'm one of those people who wants the answers. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to be able to plan and not have those plans changed by COVID or aging or ill health or anything else. I'm human. I want the security of knowledge. But Jesus asks us to trust in the power of love. This morning, we're going to celebrate the baptism of Marissa. We're going to celebrate that through baptism, God called Jesus his son. Through baptism, God has called all of us children, brothers and sisters. We are to take care of each other and the world God has given us. And we're going to welcome Marissa because she's part of that world. And the world is a messy place. But today, we're going to celebrate that God claims her and that she's got lots of brothers and sisters who will help her wade through the messy stuff and trust in love. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. receive the blessing. People of God, you are Christ's body bringing new life to a suffering world. The Holy Trinity, one God, bless you now and forever. Amen. Amen.